Buccaneers fans, it's official. Training camp is here. Football season is here. No more time to be sad. And the guy who always makes you happy is here. He is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. His tan is working. He's like 10 inches taller than Prickly Pete Prisco, who was out at One Buck Palace today. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. Training camp day one is in the books, and we are ready to talk about it. So much going on. Ira, I got to say, I didn't realize myself how much we missed, with this COVID nonsense the last couple of years. You can mingle with everybody. I was breathing on players. It was fantastic. But all the fun today, of course, is presented by Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com is the website, and we're actually in the esteemed Bill Curry Ford Studios here in Tampa.
With a sparkling showroom right downstairs.
Absolutely. The work continues. The Giant will be back in 2023, and if you don't know who the Giant is, it's not Vita Vea. It is the brand new dealership that's coming to Bill Curry Ford, the reconstruction, but they're open and they are thriving, and it's all at BillCurryFord.com. We'll talk more about them later, Sage, but Ira, I'm going to clear the floor for you. You were working the crowd, working everybody. Your impressions of day one, Bucks training camp.
And I'm sure you got me squirreling away with Charles Davis, right, Steve? I know you don't miss that. I'm sure you got a couple of pictures of that. Steve, a couple of impressions, observations right off the top. Lee, I walk in and I see the director of communications and I say to him, man, these media people are coming out of the woodwork. And he turns to me and says, there's 80 credentialed people out here, 80. And I said, is that a record? He says, if it ain't, I don't know what is. So interest in this franchise is at an all-time peak. An all-time peak, even though they're not coming off a Super Bowl like they were a year ago. A couple of quick impressions. In some ways, day one, you could say uneventful. Well, they don't have any holdouts. They don't have any huge injury concerns, and a lot of the injury issues that we thought the Bucks might have been alleviated. So in that regard, they don't have any legal issues like the Cleveland Browns are dealing with and some other teams. So in that way, distractions are at a minimum. However, on the other side, it was a spectacular opening in this respect. Who do they bring out in front of the podium? Julio Jones, who's a future Hall of Famer, and I know one when I see one. Is he first ballot? Who cares? He's going to Canton. And as I told Steve the other day, most receiving yards per game in a career. He's number one in NFL history. 92 yards per game on average receiving. Nobody. Jerry Rice, Calvin Johnson, they're all behind him. Yes, he might not even crack the top three on this team. And then here's Kyle Rudolph, who came across, I thought, in fantastic style, preaching all for one. This is an incredible team chemistry that I am privileged to be a part of. He couldn't have said anything more right. And I think I got to the heart of it. I said to Kyle Rudolph, do you feel a brotherhood with guys like Julio Jones, Keanu Neal, Akeem Hicks, guys who have played a long time in this league, and have never gotten that ring? He said, absolutely. They're all in this together, Lee. Those four guys. I think Logan Ryan's got some Super Bowl.
So you're saying it's a loser's club? Is that what you're calling it?
It's a soon-to-be winner's club. And we talk about hunger. Lee, to me, that was the theme of the day. These guys are hungry. Lavonte David's healthy. Godwin's on the mend. You couldn't ask for a better first day, Lee. And the weather cooperated.
Yeah, it wasn't brutally hot. Well, part of that, we had bleachers, so thank God we could sit in the bleachers again. I'm trying to temper myself. It was a fun day, but it's underwear football.
Well, I wasn't talking about who threw crisp passes like that, Lee. I was talking about overall the fact that this team is motivated and they're focused.
Yeah, I'm more of a nuts and bolts, what are they doing on the field kind of guy. By the way, Kyle Rudolph, he's the next Greg Olsen. And I'm not talking about tight ends. That guy is phenomenal. He should be, in a year or two, he should be working for Fox or CBS.
He's going to have a broadcast.
He is excellent. I was very excited, but again, I got to hold myself back here. The receivers looked awesome today. Absolutely awesome. But underwear football.
Yes.
There's only so much you can go by with underwear football. Hello, Tommy Streeter. Hello, Kenny Bell. But from what I saw, Perriman, Grayson was awesome today. I'm serious. Awesome. Awesome is the perfect word. If he practices in pads or in preseason games like he did today, he's got a roster spot locked up. Locked, sealed, and shoved away.
You're in trouble, Mr. Darden. You're in trouble.
He ought to be in trouble.
He ought to be.
Perriman, big play. Evans was Evans. Made big plays. With these guys like this Tompkins.
What about Gage?
Yeah, he made a nice play.
Yeah.
But there's this guy, Tompkins. Nobody knows about him because he went to East Cornfield State and racked up a lot of yards. With these guys, I don't care about bombs. And I don't think the coaches either. They're wanting these guys to demonstrate they could do the little things. Well, Gabbert hit this guy with a pass along the right sideline.
Gabbert
practiced very well today. Gabbert hit this guy with a pass along the right sidelines. Perfect pass, right on the numbers. And this guy just had enough time to toe tap and get the ball in before he went out of bounds. And that's the kind of stuff coaches are going to be looking at from this guy. Not if he can catch a bomb, not if he can catch a short pass. They're looking about footwork.
Technique.
Exactly. And he impressed me there. Darden, I'm sorry. I'm trying to be polite. I didn't see Darden do really anything today. I didn't. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be positive because he has never shown me. He's the Dexter Jackson of the 21st century. I don't know why he's even on the freaking roster, but he is. But the receivers looked excellent today. And I'm trying to temper myself because it's underwear football. For those who are listening, you do not know what I mean by underwear football. It's basically flag football wearing helmets. That's what it is. There's no hitting, no tackling.
And, Steve, I asked Bowles the question that has to be asked of every coach on day one of
training. Does he drink Big Storm?
No, very simple. Is everyone here that's supposed to be here? And I'll tell you why that's important. I think it was 2001, the year before the championship season. We're at University of Tampa. Dungy's sitting there. He makes a couple of opening remarks. Mike Cobb from the Lakeland Ledger, God bless him, good man, says, Coach, everybody here? He goes, so-and-so was excused, so he's not here. Then he said, and Derek Brooks isn't here. Somebody said, is he excused? No. And that's how we found out that Derek Brooks was holding out from training camp. Nobody remembers that about Derek Brooks. He held out of training camp in 2001 for about a week. Because he saw all these guys getting taken care of by Rich McKay and Ruskell and all these guys and Jerry Angelo. And they kept saying, your day's going to come, Derek. Your day's going to come. He got fed up with it and said, this is the only way. I got to make a stand. And that's not Derek Brooks. Not easy for him to do that. So that's why you asked Todd Bowles, is everybody here? Steve, everybody's here.
And that's why the Sage was parked in the front row of the news conference area for 25 minutes to make sure he got his front seat, and everybody can go look at it on YouTube. Todd Bowles opens his news conference hour by saying, Ira, how are you doing there, man? Good to see you. And of course, Coach Bowles sat down with our podcast here, which at my last check, and it's been a long time, over 50,000 people listened to that.
That is a big number,
which is
Steve.
Wild, absolutely wild for Todd Bowles on the Ira
That's
Kaufman
podcast.
That's
almost as many cars as Sean Sullivan sold last week. You know, it's pretty close.
I don't think so, Ira. Sage, before I drop what I was seeing on the field today, everyone's got to know Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. Mark it down, bookmark it, floridaselite restoration.com. That's where you turn when you have a disaster in your home. Storm damage, flood under the sink, mold, fire. You know what a disaster is, and you need to know who to call. That's Florida's Elite Restoration. 24/7, they are going to respond, and they'll come out and assess your property. Free, no charge. They'll tell you what's going on, what you need. They'll help you with your insurance company if you have to go that route. Owner Josh Martin, 14 years as an adjuster. He knows the game. He knows where they're trying to get you, and he knows how to make it work for you. Florida's Elite Restoration, $500 is yours if you let Florida's Elite Restoration know you heard about them on the Ira Kaufman podcast or on Joe Buck's Fan before you agree to do some work with them. Not after, not 2 months later, before. And they're going to give you $500, and that's going to help. Maybe you use that toward your deductible, or maybe that's just cash back on a cash deal. Florida's Elite Restoration. Things happen. Most homeowners realize that, especially if they've owned a home for 10 years, 20 years, especially. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, look, Sage, I'll just rip off some random nuggets from camp that I just off the top of my head buzzing around, and then I got a question for you. Rookie left guard Luke Getteke, man, he looks small. Looks like he shed some weight or something. I don't know what's going on.
My guards thick over there,
Steve. He didn't look like a man beast. You know, I that was just my quick impression right on the ground there, basically arm's length from the offensive line drills. I was very surprised. Aaron Stinney looks like an armoire, a human armoire. Very different, very interesting there. A little nugget from the crowd. This little girl, she was probably 5 years old, little blonde kid, walks up. I don't know if her dad put her up to it or somebody, or she's just a crazy Bucks fan and thinks Ryan Jensen's mean, but she's screaming at Jensen. She looks over. He looks over at her. She says, "Will you kick the pylon?" You know, they have these little pylons on the thing, and he's like, "What?" And she's like, "Will you kick the pylon? Kick it." And so he walks over and he just, you know, mauls it and kicks it, and she's like, "Yay!" You know, and it was bizarre.
Did she want to take a picture or
no? She just wanted him to kick the pylon. Like, oh, he's the mean guy. Maybe he'll go kick the pylon.
Oh,
that was kind of funny. Actually, later he went to and picked it up himself and whatever. It was really, really odd moment. But Cade Otton looks pretty big. I thought he was bigger, a little bigger than I thought. You know, you look at these rookies; they kind of look scared first day of big practice. You know, and he was like that. But Otton, I was watching, was looking for, and Rudolph was almost everywhere with Otton. With Otten, not coaching up Otten, but Rudolph was just glued to the tight end coach, you know, asking a million questions. It didn't look like Swaggy Baker coming here to collect a check. He looked like a guy who, so I thought that was pretty cool. Logan Ryan, they got him, you know, he's clearly already playing different positions and looks very confident. I caught one moment where Rashad White was trying to put a couple of jukes on him. He didn't buy the juke. He stepped up and bear hugged him, which, you know, it was like, hey, rookie, I don't fall for that. That's why I get 100 tackles a year kind of thing. It was an interesting kind of moment. I talked to KJ Britt after practice. He says he's dropped like 7-8 pounds, weighed in at 237, and he's really fired up to get all these snaps that Kevin Minter, you know, he's the one guy they didn't replace on the defense who had a bunch of snaps, Kevin Minter. So they're really obviously looking for Britt to step up.
How's your man Fournette look, Stevie?
Fournette, I took a bunch of pictures. They're at JoeBucksFan.com. Fans can give their own opinion. You know, he looks a little overweight, but nothing in the realm of bad. And Todd Bowles.
Well, Bowles says you lose 4 or 5 pounds in training camp. That's what.
Yeah,
you do.
We'll address that real quick. Grayson, who Lee mentioned, I talked to him. He said he's down 5 pounds and he was looking to lose weight. Now he's a skinny track guy, so I thought that was interesting. Tyler Johnson looked like in $1 million shape. He and Scotty Miller might have had the same trainer or something. He was all jacked up, Tyler Johnson, which I thought was interesting.
Arians running anybody over in that
cart? I didn't see Arians. I looked. Every time I looked, I couldn't find him. But he was there. I know he was there.
I saw him talking to Brady. He was in his golf cart. He was parked behind the quarterbacks like usual. And I did see him talking to Brady, and Brady had a big smile on his face.
And last two quick nuggets, I thought Lavonte David looked really quick. And it didn't seem like he took any break in practice.
Said he's 100%.
He looked 100%. Really good. I know it's, you know, it's July, but wow, he looked really good. And I talked to Russell Gage for a while, and he's just ecstatic that Julio Jones is here. He's like, man, that guy is such a coach on the field. And I said to him, I said, hey, Russell, you know, a lot of guys might say, oh, you know, I got paid to be the number three guy here. I'm making big money, and they're bringing in Julio Jones. And he's like, no. He said, aside from my love of Julio, he's like, you know, when Calvin Ridley and Julio were on the field at the same time, he's like, that's how I broke through in the league, because I wasn't getting double teams and nobody can cover me and that kind of stuff. And he's like, it's just going to be crazy. So he was really excited and told me a little bit about Jones and stuff. So I don't know. I thought they looked good there. Ira, 80 media members. I hate to even say it on the podcast, but that's good for us, Ira, because the Bucks don't have enough media staff to keep an eye on what we may do. And I got a lot of freedom today. I like that.
Ira, I got two things from Kyle Rudolph. I want your response to them.
If he can catch as well as he speaks, the Bucks are in good shape.
He said this about learning the Bucks playbook. He said a playbook is one thing. It looks, you know, you have the lines on the playbook, and it's supposed to do what it's supposed to do. He goes, on the field, Tom Brady wants it a different way.
He did. He made a big point about that.
What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah. A rookie doesn't look at it like that. A rookie looks at the thing on the page, and he's going to follow everything that's on that page. Rudolph's smarter than that. He's been through the wars, and he knows all about Brady. He's already been indoctrinated into Brady speak. Brady wants things the way Brady wants things, and it might not be on exactly the written page because he used another word, Lee, that fits what you're talking about. Nuances.
Mm-hmm.
Nuances. Brady's big on the nuances. Yeah, it says you cut this off after 4.5 yards, but I want your body to lean a certain way. You know, that's not on the page. It's not on there. So you're right. Rudolph's a deep thinker. I think he's going to fit very well. And he made a point to say he ain't Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
And I think that's the right tack to take.
What'd he say? Those are big shoes to fill, and I don't.
I got big feet.
I got big feet, and they don't fill them.
Yeah.
Here's another one thing he said, and this blew me away, but. You've been with the Bucks forever. You've been with the Bucks, covering the Bucks, way before the lost decade. And he was talking about the reasons he came. We know why, Brady and all the players. But he also said the culture that's here. Think back to 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
What does that tell you when he says one of the reasons he came here was the culture?
The culture was a reason that a lot of free agents wouldn't come to Tampa. 3 years ago, and 6 years ago, and 9 years ago, and 12 years ago. It was toxic. It was toxic. Here comes Swaggy Baker. Here comes that clown, Collins, the tackle from the Bengals.
Oh, yeah, Anthony Collins.
That Light fell in love with. Disaster. Michael Johnson. Disaster.
DeSean Jackson.
Alteran Verner. Disaster. We don't have to go on and on because Light has made tremendous strides since then. You know what? I think he figured out what went wrong. What was he doing wrong? And he corrected it. But this culture is a winning culture, and you hate to pour it all on one guy. I'll give Brady about 88% of it. It's Brady. It's always Brady, Steve.
Yeah.
It's always damn Brady.
Here's one to back up what you were saying about Light. I wrote this a couple of days ago on JoeBucksFan.com. The 33rd team, Mike Tannenbaum's outfit, they did a research on drafts. You know, I can't remember how far back. Take a guess, was the number two team in signing players to a second contract.
I saw that.
The Bucks.
I saw that. And they used to be a joke in that regard.
Yeah.
A joke. One more thing I want to say, Steve, before you hop in and maybe introduce our beautiful guest here. If anybody's wondering whether the Bucks are all in, anybody wondering, they can't be wondering at this point. But I just did a little research here, Lee. I've got the roster sheet. It doesn't have Julio Jones on it because
nope.
He signed today. So I've added Julio Jones. Steve, now there's a lot of guys in camp. No question about it. The number of players, current Buccaneers, that are 30 years old or older. Now, Lee, you know this because I've written about it. 5 years ago, you couldn't get a job here if you were 30 years old. They're not interested. They don't want you. You know, you're too old. You're making too much money, blah, blah, blah. 17. 17 players 30 or older, and a lot of them are starters. That shows you where this team is, where this franchise is, Steve, in its arc. It's, we got to win it this year, and we're going to win it this year. And God knows that's exciting for every Buck fan out there.
Is that so many 30-year-old guys, could that be bad? You know, like, you know, they might run out of gas.
I don't think so. I don't look at it that way.
They had a very similar number last year, Ira. I'm not going to look it up, but it by the time they got to the season, it was close to that number. I want to say 16.
But it wasn't like that in 2018.
No, not at all. Not at all. Total change. And, you know, I thought it was interesting today. Todd Bowles said that, well, you know, we don't need to run on multiple fields because then guys are getting a lot of reps and we kind of don't need all those reps so we can stay healthy later. That's a real departure from Bruce Arians.
Didn't he imply they ran out of gas a little bit?
He sort of implied that. I got to go back and listen, but that was the implication that, hey, two fields means too many guys getting too many reps, and that's interesting.
Is that one reason why they had so many injuries late in the season?
Guys
were worn out. And you got to remember, they played so many games. Only the Chiefs played as many games as they did the previous season.
It's hard to say, but it's clearly something that was thought through, and we'll see how that changes. Doesn't mean they can't run a second field 10 days into practice if they want to. But Ira, I wanted to run this past you. In our last podcast, we addressed Julio Jones and all things signing there, but we didn't have the financial number on Julio Jones. And I want to bring that up because it sort of fits into the big puzzle here. But I want to remind everybody that we're here at the Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa, BillCurryFord.com, where we're going to have a special guest in a moment. This is we're actually where the best-in-class podcast is produced, Ira, with Sean Sullivan, the general manager here, our draft guru. So we're in hallowed halls on the best-in-class podcast. And, of course, as we heard before, Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Huge anniversary celebration, 10th anniversary of Big Storm on Saturday at the tap room in Clearwater, 49th Street. All day into the night, Ira, I hope we get to
see. If I show
see
up, it. Can I get a free beer?
You can get all kinds of things and buy one, get one free on packaged beer there all day, which is phenomenal. And even if you don't even stay to hang out, that's a hell of a deal. And they're giving away all kinds of stuff. Big Storm Beer, BigStormBrewery.com. Sage, Julio Jones is earning $6 million guaranteed. He's got some incentives on top of that. But $6 million, that's sort of what Antonio Brown earned last year. And that's sort of what some other guys around the league have gotten, you know, in similar, hey, I'm the third receiver. I've got talent. I've been around. So he's not taking a lot of money. Julio Jones hasn't made $6 million in a long, long, long time, if ever. And it puts him in a the Bucs in a situation where they've now spending so much money on receivers. It's got to be an NFL record. I can't imagine that it's not. And what is your thought about the money? They basically used everything they allocated for Gronk for Rudolph and Jones. And what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's time to break a little news on this podcast, Isbits. You never mind when I do that. As we speak today, I will go out on a limb and say Jason Light's not done. I think they're going to add somebody else.
Whoa.
I'm not sure who it is, but they're not done.
That's
all I am allowed to say.
That's breaking news. Ira thinks they're going to add a player. That's breaking news, Ira? Come on.
We know who Ira talks to. So.
A name player. A name player.
A name player is on the way. All right, the Sage is calling it.
And our guest is very excited about that, Steve.
Do you know the name or you're just...
That's as far as I can go right now.
The Sage does not spill the beans. We wish he would more, but we know how that goes. All right, Ira, look, we weren't the only three eyes on training camp today on practice. The fourth eyeball is Sean Sullivan, our draft guru, the GM at Bill Curry
Ford.
We didn't
even know Sean was at training camp today. We didn't know that.
I knew, but you know, hey, you don't get to know everything, Ira, just like I don't get to know who's the Bucks are signing.
There you go.
Sean, welcome to the Ira Kaufman podcast. You've been here many times before. Well, first, how the hell are you today?
Doing great, Steve. Everything is fantastic. I was so excited to be at training camp this morning at the invitation of Mr. Ford. So very happy to be there. It was a great practice. It wasn't too hot. There was a nice breeze going on this morning, and I got to see my rookies, which is always exciting.
All right, Sean, look, we're here at Bill Curry Ford, and since we have you, we don't have to sit and explain all the stuff about your incredible concierge service or anybody ordering a new vehicle, no deposit. You got the $500 incentive in gift cards. You got the famous Ira Kaufman discount. They've got your personal service if they want it. Sean, though, we always love to ask you, Bill Curry Ford, third generation here, 61 plus years in Tampa. What makes this place special? Why should somebody buy their vehicle at Bill Curry Ford?
Well, that's an easy answer for me. We're family owned. And there's 3,700 Ford stores in the United States. There's 113 in the state of Florida locally, and only a handful are left as family-owned stores. The Curry family's been serving this community, as you know, for over 61 years, 41 active charities. Before Jennifer, who's the third generation, her father was active in Tampa. It's more than a car dealership. People have to understand that local dealerships supply jobs, help out local restaurants, local facilities. We supply parts chains. So I need people to understand how much of a part of the community we are, how much we enjoy being in Tampa. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I mean, and that's the truth. And I love the people that come in here. And they're so loyal, Steve. And what you don't get at a corporate store, and I'm not gonna name all the corporate stores to give them free advertising, but there's a lot of corporate stores that you're just a number. When you come here, you actually meet me, Jennifer, some of her family, her children are here several times a week. Our service managers, our parts managers, our body shop managers have spent their entire career here out of high school. The majority of them have been here for 20, 30. I have 40-year employees here. I have the majority of my master techs are in their 60s and 70s. They haven't even retired because they love working here so much. And they're so excited about the new facility because we're going to have a fully air-conditioned facility with 65 in-ground bays and 5 electric bays and heavy-duty bays. We're going to be working on RVs, which is going to be exciting. But it's an exciting time to be at Bill Curry Ford, and it's an exciting time for me to be able to sell to the community, not just cars, but it's almost, for me, it's like it's a lifestyle of giving to this community and how much I have embraced the sports and how much I love everybody that, you know, that plays, including the Inferno. As you know, that's somebody who's working with my podcast directly is in a female NFL football team, and Lori, who was the first female defensive line coach for
Locus.
The Bucs.
Yep.
Yeah, she's an amazing person who also works in the community. I'm just proud to have my name attached with these people, to be honest.
What percentage of your business is repeat business, Sean?
The majority of my business is repeat business. And a lot of people do service and parts and body shop due to the location closest to their home, right? I would like to think it's because it's us, right? As far as sales go, people will drive 100 miles to change dealerships over a small amount of money. They'll drive 100 miles. This is data that comes directly from the NADA. You can look it up online. But people won't drive 100 miles to get an oil change or to work in our
Sean,
body shop.
Ira has been known to drive 35 miles for buy one, get one free Oreos.
That I believe. Or a beet salad. If I have to,
or beet salad.
I don't know. I should open a beet salad store because I think it would do very well with Ira.
You're forgetting one selling point, Sean, and that's the major selling point. And I'm going to quote you directly. Last year, when the Ira Kaufman Fantasy Football League was held here at Bill Curry Ford, the draft, and Bay News 9 came out to do a feature story on it, they interviewed you. Why is Bill Curry Ford hosting this? And you looked at the interviewer, and you said, at Bill Curry Ford, we like football.
That is so true. That what else could be said? We like football. I mean, we are, like I said, the Curry family loves football. We're big into sports. We have our own box at Tampa Stadium. Obviously, we hockey box. We're big into sports because sports is community, right?
Sean, you know what all your podcast listeners are saying now. Sean, can we just hear what you thought about these rookies on the field or what you saw? So you were there at practice. Your top five impressions of what you saw day one.
I think that Devin Tompkins out of Utah State, which is the guy that Todd Bowles directly talked about, I can't wait to see him in training camp and see him in games. He's smaller than I even imagined when I saw him on the field. It takes a brave man, and I mean a brave man, to get out with those giants and run around at 5'8". And 5'8 might be with cleats on. That might be stretching it a little bit. I mean, that guy's brave, and he was moving, and he's in out there on the field. So there's a guy that I'm watching just because he caught 1,900 yards receiving last year. He was the second most receiving yards in college football history at Utah State.
Can he return a damn punt or a kick?
He is a punt and kick returner. But speaking of that, you guys had already been talking about, because I was listening to the podcast, obviously. You guys were talking about wide receiver battle. Are you going to have 6 or 7 wide receivers on this team? And if you're going to have only 6... 4 are already done. Evans, Godwin, Gage, and Julio, right? Yeah,
right.
So now you have 5 receivers fighting for 2 spots or 3 spots. That's tough, especially when you have draft picks on the line. You know, Scotty Miller, you got Tyler Johnson, you got Darden, you got guys.
Perryman, yeah.
Well, I was talking specifically about
draft picks.
About draft picks.
Oh, draft picks,
that
yeah.
Jason would have to cut his own draft picks,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear about returnability, right? I mean... It doesn't matter who we keep. We don't return anything, right? So it doesn't matter. Please don't tell me this guy's a better returner. If you listen to the Best in Class podcast, I did a GoFundMe account to get new cleats for Darden because I feel like that's something that's important for this season because he slips a lot. And I want to make sure that he has solid footing in this training camp battle. And I hear he's terrific. Like he's coming in really focused. You know, you mentioned Tyler Johnson. Tyler Johnson looks like totally. I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't see the jersey.
It looks
number.
Phenomenal.
My goodness, that, we all need that guy's personal trainer. So that was something I noticed right away. I noticed that Hainsey, our guard that we drafted, center guard that we drafted out of Notre Dame last year, who played 36 snaps all of last year, 34 on special teams. He only had 2 snaps in the regular season. Looks like he put on a considerable amount of size in the offseason. it looks like his first full year of being in a weight room, in an NFL weight room, seemed to really change his body type.
Yeah, he's bigger and leaner. Yeah, he's built up.
Yeah.
You see what Isbitz means about Gedeki?
Yeah, Gedeki looks like a tight end. He doesn't look like a guard. And when I say tight end, he was one of the guys I was going to buy my 5 points. But did you see Cameron Brate?
He looks bigger.
Cameron Brate looks bigger. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Kyle Rudolph, he's by far our biggest tight end.
He looks like a forward in basketball.
I'm thinking to myself, you've got to keep four tight ends. Who's blocking in the tight ends, right? Cameron Brate looks too small. Even though he looks bigger, he's not a terrific blocker, right?
Yep.
Kyle Rudolph will tell you that he's not a terrific inline run blocker like Gronk.
He's adequate.
Right. Gronk is a Hall of Fame blocker.
Yes.
Right? People think about his catches and his receiving. Mm. He's a Hall of Fame blocker.
He's damn near like a tackle.
Right? Yeah. So we've lost a lot at that blocking because Cameron Brate, I don't know if adequate blocking.
Never been known for his blocking.
Right? So you have Kokeeft. Kokeeft is, we brought him in to be a blocker.
And he was taking snaps on the second string today.
Yes. And he looks extremely good. Cade Otton was bigger than I expected. Bigger. He looks like a terrific target. But again, he needs to hit the weight room on his lower legs. I pay attention in underwear football. There's only so many things I can look at, right? So I'm looking at, okay, is this guy physically ready for the trenches in the NFL?
Do you think Ira's physically ready for this season?
Yeah, maybe for a beet salad. Maybe for a beet salad. But
what'd you see out of Fournette?
Fournette looked absolutely fine to me. I thought this whole thing about his weight was just a bunch of crap. I don't understand why we, as fans, maybe we're spoiled because of Brady. But this is not a 12-month-a-year sport for these guys. You don't have to do two-a-days, 12 months out of the year. The guy can take 2 months off and have family time. The man's a family man. I don't know if people know that, but Fournette's a family man, right? Loves his family. He obviously enjoyed 2 months off, and then he knows what he needs for his body better than anybody else, right? Why are we talking about this guy's weight? If he showed up at the start of the season or even at the preseason game and he's can't run up and down the field after he signed a contract, yeah, then hammer him. But for goodness sakes, let's stop talking about this being a 12-month around-the-clock deal for these guys. They take 2 months off from training. I don't care who they are. They take that time off. It's mentally grueling. It's not just physically grueling to be in the gym for that long. This whole thing was blown out of proportion. He's a professional. He's been nothing but a professional with Tampa. Mm-hmm. I thought his attitude has been fantastic. He's been a team guy. Ever since the Bruce Arians conversation.
That's right. That was the turning point.
I can't tell you how proud I am that Leonard Fournette's carrying the ball for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right, what else did you see?
What did you see on defense, Sean?
I didn't see a lot on defense. I was looking for a couple of guys. I was looking for McCollum because I really wanted to see how his speed translated even in underwear football. I didn't get a chance to see him today. I don't know if you guys saw him.
He got burned on one play, but it wasn't – Grayson got a step on him, and he made a highlight reel catch. But we're talking about a freaking track star, and he only had one step on him, just got behind him, just enough to make a catch. So cornerbacks get beat.
And I wanted to see Logan Hall. I wanted to see what he looked like compared to the...
Well, he kept a pass that Carlton Davis picked off.
Yeah, he's got long arms, that's for sure. And where he's going to play is interesting to me because you have Logan Hall, and then you have Vita Vea, who's basically playing part-time snaps. And then, it's true.
I know.
I have to say, Sean, it looks like Vita Vea is a family man as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that is for sure. By the way, Vita Vea is a customer of Bill Curry Ford, and he's awesome, by the way. And I met his wife. She's awesome, too. So he definitely is a family man, for sure. But I know where you're going with that.
Hey, do you have a question for Ira? This is a rare opportunity, you representing Bucks fans everywhere. Question for the Sage.
Like, I know this is early, but I'd like to know, getting back to the wide receiver conversation, right? You have a set four guys. Godwin's cleared for training camp. You know that he's ready to go. So we can stop talking about December or whatever nonsense that some of the other people, clickbait people, were trying to get us to click on about Godwin's timeline. Who are these other slots? Are we going to keep seven or six?
I don't believe they will keep seven. I do not believe they will keep seven.
Okay.
Because I think that'll take away from linebackers. Bowles is not going to allow that to happen.
Okay, so who's your two? And after seeing Grayson today, Grayson looks like a starting wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, obviously, we know what Perryman does. Perryman seems to only play he plays at a high level for the Bucks. I mean, that's what it is. He goes to the Lions. No one wants him. He comes here. He catches touchdown passes. So the
Arians' offense.
I'm going to go with Johnson and Grayson right now. Johnson.
You're going
and Grayson.
With Tyler Johnson and Grayson.
Yes.
So you're saying
I don't think Light wants to cut Tyler Johnson.
Okay, so you're thinking Darden, Scotty Miller, get cut.
I think so.
Okay.
Lee, what do you think? Pick
two guys, huh?
Well, that's if that's the only two spots you have.
Yeah. I know.
Unless you keep seven.
I think the two that keep are Perriman and Grayson. Basically, Grayson and Tyler Johnson are one and the same. They're both slot receivers.
That's right.
So you're not going to keep just two. I mean, you're going to diversify a little bit. So I think they'll keep Perriman and then cross their fingers. Well, maybe, and I was going to ask Ira this. Since the Bucs have a glut of receivers, is there a trade smoke in the winds, or are teams smart enough, like, okay, they'll cut some guys, we'll get the pick of the litter?
I'm still mad Ira won't tell us who this new player is.
Never mind that. I hate to burst
what
your bubble.
Hell, Ira?
I hate to burst your bubble here, DeKemper.
I'm glad.
But nobody's lining up for Tyler Johnson. No, nobody.
Not if there's injury somewhere?
No, nobody's lining up for Tyler Johnson. He hasn't shown enough. Nobody's lining up for Scotty Miller. I don't believe. I think the idea is that that Brady is whatever productivity they're getting out of these guys is due to Brady.
You cut last year's fourth round draft pick in Darden.
That wouldn't bother me. I wouldn't lose an ounce of sleep.
He comes from
a
small school. It's a developmental. He was a developmental pick. You're not going to give him another year.
No,
show
no,
me something.
Nobody should rip Jason Light if Darden doesn't make this roster.
I mean, you got Grayson out there. He's never played any freaking college football, not even a small school.
Right.
So I can't go there. That Darden needs more time.
So that's your pick at wide receiver, then are they keeping four tight ends? Because you're going to have to cut Kokeith if you don't keep four
They'll
tight
keep
ends.
Keith. Because they got no blocking tight ends.
Last year they kept three tight ends. They had three tight ends.
I'm going to say they keep seven receivers because you can't stockpile all these receivers just because you want to cut some guys. That makes no sense. Chris Godwin's knee could swell up in week one after he takes his first real shot. And next thing you know, Julio's got a hamstring and they're short again. So they'd be stone cold idiots to not keep seven. That's just my opinion.
Ooh.
And I don't think you can get rid of Scotty Miller because he's a proven playoff performer. The guy's talented and he's a speed threat. Those are in demand in the NFL. I think you'd get a six round pick from somebody for Scotty Miller if you had to dump him. And Tyler Johnson proved himself in the playoffs as well, played better later in the season last year. So I don't think those guys are going anywhere. So I think they'll make it. And is that seventh guy Grayson? Because Grayson, I think, is a guy, if you make him your seventh guy and you have to, and you want to make some room and you cut him in week four, I think he might not get claimed.
Steve made an excellent point I forgot about, and I better qualify my answer. My answer still would be Grayson and Perriman. However, I was told this by the NFL general manager years ago, and no one's told me anything different. If you're a backup, you better be able to play special teams or you're an endangered species. And I don't think Perriman could play special teams. Grayson, I'm not sure about. Scotty Miller sure showed last year he could play special teams. Darden, I haven't seen a damn thing from him on special teams other than he shouldn't be on the field. That's the one thing he's shown me. They shouldn't be out there. So that I have to qualify my answer. If Miller continues to shine on special teams, he might just get an edge.
We might as well ask Mr. Sullivan your great cosmic question the other day, Steve.
Cosmic.
So I'll run it past Sean Sullivan.
Is this like cosmic shine?
Is this the greatest quartet receiver core in NFL history?
Hold on. The guy answering this question, in case you just fast-forwarded, this is Sean Sullivan, GM, Bill Curry Ford, or JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. And you can find him at BillCurryFord.com. Nice video, Sean, about the concierge service, your commercial there. You have a career in being a car dealer.
No. Thank you, Steve.
So, Sean, when you go four deep on the depth chart at wide receiver, is this the greatest quartet of all time on one team?
Absolutely. I think this is going to be the best receiving core in NFL history. And I truly believe that from a true football fan who remembers Jerry Rice, you know, playing with Tim Brown. Right? But they were both at the end of their careers.
They were.
We're talking about the Jerry Rice passing the baton on to Terrell Owens. None of these guys played in their primes together. Now, take this into account. Mike Evans is in his prime, right? He's 28 years old. He's coming off another terrific season. He's, 600 yards away from setting another NFL record. He's a Hall of Fame player. You have Chris Godwin coming off an injury who has had a very successful NFL career to this point.
Sean.
It's a serious injury, but from all accounts, he's healthy. That's what everybody's saying, and they wouldn't have cleared him for training camp if the doctors weren't sure that he was clear. He's a difference maker.
What does Gage bring?
He's going to be the fourth receiver on this team because you just signed another Hall of Fame player. And Julio Jones, by the way, who is 2 years removed from catching 800 yards in 11 games. Right, he probably had 1,700 yards in that
2019
season. Yeah, that was amazing. By the way,
and he's a buck killer. He's a classic buck killer.
This is how interesting Julio Jones is as far as a postseason guy. This is why Brady likes Julio Jones. It's not because of the regular season. Look at Julio Jones in the playoffs. He's been in 9 playoff games. He's caught over 900 yards and 6 touchdowns in only 9 games.
Whoa.
He has dominated in the playoffs. This is a guy
is
that Brady
healthy?
Wants.
Sean,
I think
he
he's 100%
he
healthy.
He says he's healthy.
I'm going to go with, listen, I have no reason not to trust Jason Light. Jason Light has built a perennial Super Bowl team in a salary cap hell. The way he's done it, he has done an amazing job. So he still owes me dinner. I'm still trying to get the guy to go to dinner with me so I can talk about draft picks.
I'll bring it up to him, Sean.
I got a table at Burns waiting for him.
And I'll vouch for it. Yes, you do.
Yeah, so basically the reason why I think it is you have 2 Hall of Famers guaranteed between Mike Evans and Julio Jones. And Julio Jones might not be in his prime, but he's not over the hill like Jerry Rice was in that Super Bowl. He had a bad season in Tennessee, but that's where everybody goes to die anyway.
Ira,
where they put you out to pasture.
Ira, we were surrounded, of course, with the hype today, opening day of training camp, and all those media. You were talking to the national guys, doing your thing, and soaking it all in, listening like you do at a higher plane. And I got to ask you, I've asked you this on the last podcast, but I got to ask you again because it becomes more relevant, especially with it all appearing before our eyes. Is the pressure on Todd Bowles, how extreme do you think it is? As from the Glazer standpoint of this is the greatest team we've ever assembled kind of thing, because it may very well be. If you really dig into it, you know, we got to see what the rookies can do and the second year guys, but it may be the greatest team they've ever assembled, the greatest offense they've ever assembled. If Bowles doesn't get it done, where do the Glazers' minds go from there?
I'll say this, Steve, and I think this is fair. Barring an injury to Tom Brady, that's how you always start that sentence. Barring an injury to Tom Brady of significance, if the Bucks don't make a fairly deep playoff run, and I didn't say if they don't make the playoffs. I said if they don't make a fairly deep playoff run, I think it's going to be devastating for Todd Bowles in the eyes of the Glazers. In the eyes of the Glazers. His stature is shaky coming off his 4-year tenure in New York. Say what you want about the quarterbacks he had to work with. Crappy ownership with the Jets. Hard place to win. Robert Saleh's going to find that out.
Their drafting was horrible.
Their drafting stinks.
Not this year.
This year, their draft was amazing.
They crushed it.
They did crush
it. That's because I listened to the Best in Class podcast with Sean Sullivan. Go ahead.
Sean, this team is favored to make it to the Super Bowl. That's a fact in Vegas. They are the number one ranked NFC team. And if Brady is not hurt and they don't make a deep run, Sean, Todd Bowles could be in trouble sooner than he thinks.
This team goes how Brady goes, and that's what all the national media goes. But I'm going to go, this team goes how Tristan Wirfs go. I'm going to stay on this topic.
Well,
because
you don't have any questions about Tristan Wirfs.
No. When Tristan Wirfs got hurt, our offense in that Rams game stopped. Brady was healthy, right? We had healthy wide receivers.
Yeah, they had 3 points.
Right? It stopped initially, but in the second half, look what happened.
Yes, but
it
sped
hurt,
it up.
But it wasn't crippling.
Helped by Ram turnovers.
Yeah.
Helped by Ram turnovers.
Very fair.
All right, so you're saying if Wirfs is healthy, this team's going to score a lot of points.
We had one offensive lineman go out, which, by the way, the NFL came out and with their NFL ratings and said the Bucs had the number one rated offensive line, which I still have a tough time wrapping my head around when you have 2 new starting guards on that offensive line. That's hard for me.
I agree.
It's hard for me to evaluate.
Of course, Mason is, you know, that's...
Right, Shaq right. Mason, but again, on another team and in another life, right? Yeah. So we don't know how he's going to be on our team, but... My point was Tristan Wirfs makes that much of a difference on that offensive line. When Brady has time to throw, he's the best. No one's arguing that. This team's probably going to score more than 30.3 points a game and probably set an NFL record for the most points per game with this wide receiving core. If our offensive line stays healthy, because I don't think it's about Brady staying
doesn't
healthy.
Doesn't the run game take a step back without Gronkowski? Could it?
Well, I think that... I mean, yeah, I think you can. It just depends on how well Kokeeft can block and if they're going to bring another guard in instead of a tight end to help block on like on a power O, or if they're going wide, they're probably going to bring in another guard versus having – because Gronk was like having another offensive lineman.
That tandem of Gronk and Wirfs on the right
unbelievable.
Side, that's devastating.
It's devastating.
So, Ira, wait. You asked Sean a question. I always tell you not to ask people questions on this podcast. I'll throw it back at you. Is the running game going to be hurt because of the loss of Gronk?
I think it is. I think it
all
is.
All right, the sage has spoken.
And
he won't tell us who they're signing.
And there will be a drop-off at left guard. I mean, let's face it. There's going to be a drop-off.
Are we sure that Shaq Mason's not starting at left guard and they're going to have a different starting right guard?
He'll be at right guard. Shaq will be at right guard.
Right, but you know he played left guard, right? So
he played right.
No, he played
in New England.
I think
in
he
New
played
England.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he played right.
I thought he played both.
He could have, but I know he was starting right guard.
If you were me, right, if you were I shouldn't say that because I imagine myself as the Bucks GM. Sorry, Jason. If you were me, do you want to put Shaq Mason next to Donovan Smith or Tristan Wirfs? And I'm going to go, if you remember when Ali Marpet got hurt, Smith struggled. And my only thought I feel like between the two tackles, I feel better with Mason, who's played left guard. I'm almost positive he's played left guard in his career.
Not saying he hasn't played.
Right. I'm saying is you put him at left guard, and then that helps Donovan Smith. And then you have Stenny start at right guard next to Wirfs, and I think that is a better team. But, again, I'm not a coach, but I feel like that would make me feel better. But let me tell you why the running game is not going to take a step back just because of the blocking. One, Leonard Fournette is coming in, I think, hot. I think we got him. Somebody got under his skin on the internet.
He's at his peak.
Yeah, I think that he's going to come in and he's going to have a monster year. He's going to get 75% of the touches, right? He proved last year what I said, and this was on for Joe Bucks fan listeners. You can go back and check the tape. I said Leonard Fournette is a third down back and can catch the ball. And I got much flack.
To be right.
I got so much flack on Joe Bucks fan destroying the car guy for talking about how Leonard Fournette.
He said he had stone hands.
He had. I said the guy caught 76 balls for Jacksonville.
He did.
Second only to McCaffrey. And somehow it got ignored when he started here that this guy can not only be Brady's number one target out of the backfield, he can run the ball at 5 yards a clip. And then we go out and get Rashard White. I mean, we're going to talk about rookies. He's one of my favorite players. He's one of my favorite players before the draft, before the Bucks even drafted him. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he lands on the Bucks. I can't be more excited to have a former wide receiver turned running back that averaged almost 6 yards a carry on a very bad team.
Why did he last in that draft with those numbers? Why?
He's Pac-12.
Why did he drop?
The number one reason he dropped, he had 1 year. He was a nobody the previous year. So if you look at a lot of the running backs like Breece Hall had more than 1 year. Kenyon Walker had more than 1 year.
So he could have been a flash in the pan.
Right. And he's new to the position. He's also brand new to the position. He was a wide receiver, was recruited as a wide receiver, played wide receiver. They switched him to running back, and then it just took off from there.
I got nothing against Rashad White, but all the tape that I've gone back to watch, the highlights, et cetera, other clips, he does look a little slow in college. I got to say, he looks a little slow. Am I missing something?
Everything I watched, I don't see him as slow as you're thinking. Like Arian Foster is, in my mind, he reminds me a lot of his running style.
He had some big years.
Not too slow. I'm not saying this guy's lumbering, but he looks third, fourth round speed.
You think what he did run a 4.4. Right? So it wasn't like he ran a 4.5 or 4.6 at the
combine.
Yeah,
I'm just talking about the game look.
Right.
The game look.
I just, you don't think it's just his methodical running style. He runs like Eddie George. He runs straight up.
Yeah.
Because he can't get the wide receiver out of him. So when he was releasing off the line of scrimmage, he's running upright, like he's ready to catch the ball. And then when he even runs the ball, he's still more upright than most running backs just because he's new to the position.
Ronald Jones did that too, Sean?
It's very similar. And
this guy's a much better receiver than Ronald Jones. There's no question about that.
There's no question. Yeah. Ronald Jones is still trying to figure out how to catch. Where you know, so.
But the running style, he's similar. He's similar to.
There is a no. Ronald Jones is much faster than.
He's
Rashard
on the
White.
Chiefs, Lee. What do you got?
Right. Well, going back to
Ronald Jones is much faster. I'm just letting you know. There's no question that he has way more burst than Rashard White.
Sure.
Rashard White follows blocks. He follows his lines. He runs like Arian Foster. Arian Foster was a guy that followed his blocks and was very successful
Foster
at it.
Was very successful.
Ira, think about when you go to Golden Corral and you got to weave to get to the
serpentine.
Dessert.
Serpentine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Go ahead.
Real quick, Sean, you're asking where would I want Shaq Mason to play? Wherever he's comfortable.
Okay, that makes sense.
You want to play left guard? You can play left guard. You
want to
play right guard?
I want him to
play
where I'm comfortable, and that's next to Devin White or Donovan Smith.
If Shaq Mason played left guard, Sean, I'm going to ask you directly. Suppose they do switch him to left guard, and you make a fair point. Who do you want to protect? You want to protect Tristan Wirfs, or you want to protect Donovan Smith? I want to protect Donovan Smith. Doesn't mean I think Smith's a bad player. I think he's a good player.
No, I think he's a very good player. And I think all those Donovan Smith haters, you know, in the last 3 years can see that he can play the game. And he can play
it at a
high level.
You'd be surprised.
I just wrote,
they need to stop on the Donovan Smith thing.
I just wrote that he's better than Orlando Brown. He's a better player than Orlando Brown Jr.
Well, Orlando Brown has a higher draft status, and I think that that carries with him. So his name has more weight because of that reason.
So here's my question, and Steve doesn't like it when I ask our guest questions, but you're a special guest.
Sean's family.
If Shaq Mason goes to left guard, Ira, in your opinion.
He's moved out of the guest status. That's what I'm saying.
Is he as good as Ali Marpet at left guard? Or will there be a little drop-off?
Well, first of all, that's really hard because Ali Marpet's I'm very close to Ali. So I'm going to go with Ali Marpet is a better. And first of all, I've never seen Shaq Mason play in a Bucks uniform. All right? So
it's premature.
It's premature. But I can tell you, as far as the other guard position, I know that Steve probably thinks that Stenny going in. And by the way, Stenny looked the part this morning in practice. He looks like a wall. Compared to Gedeke, who looked very small
as
a guard.
Big difference.
And Hainsey is not as big as Stenny. It's not even close. I'm not going to go on a limb when people are saying Hainsey only played 36 snaps. He must be a bust. I'm going to go with the fact he played on a Super Bowl team, was drafted by a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, they got great depth.
And they have great depth.
Built
and
a good line.
Jason Light has a proven track record of offensive line. You can't really doubt him. He even finds guys off the street like Stenny.
Steve, theoretically, shouldn't Stenny win that job? Shouldn't he win it?
No, I don't think there's anything theoretical. You got to show it on the field. But just from day one, he certainly looks the part. Gedeke doesn't.
Am I trusting a rookie in front of Tom Brady?
Sure.
Well how many rookies did the Bucks start when? I mean, they started two rookies when they won the Super Bowl.
Tristan Wirfs is Tristan Wirfs. Gedeke ain't Tristan Wirfs.
Sure, my point is, like Steve said, you got to prove. Nobody should be gifted a spot.
Stinney's got like five career starts. He proved it in the playoffs. No, not taking anything away from the guy whatsoever. But Brady's got a history, and we've talked about it months ago. He's won Super Bowls with rookie guards before, multiple times. So I don't think anybody would be scared if the guy's good enough.
Who does he feel more comfortable with, think? I think he goes in telling the coaches he
whoever
wants
Stenny. Starts.
Anybody
right?
who listens
you don't think
to
he wants Stenny in there?
Anyone who listens to this podcast believes that knows that I believe Tom Brady picks the O-line.
I agree completely.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
I know Tom Brady's listening right now, so consider moving Shaq Mason to left guard.
Ira, come on. Who's next? Who are the Bucks signing? You're sitting there like you got...
The answer is I don't know.
How about defensive?
I think they're making a move.
How about offensive defense?
I don't believe you.
This move you're talking about, is the guy unemployed?
Offensive or defensive player? Maybe you can give us that. Because I think it's a defensive player.
Ira, is this a defensive move?
I would also think it's a defensive player.
And I think it's a pass rusher.
I've got as far as I can go.
Like Sean is a general.
It's like when Sean Sullivan gives you the bottom line number on a Ford Escape. He can't go anywhere.
Sean is an accomplished general manager in the auto industry here at Bill Curry Ford. He knows how to read people. You can look at Ira right there. You know he knows exactly what the Bucks are up to.
Let's move on, Steve. What else?
He literally just sat up in his chair, Steve. First sign that he wants us to change the subject immediately.
Boy.
Yeah, all the body language. All right, Ira, look, we could sit here and chat all day, but we're not going to do that, and we will hit you with a couple more questions.
By the way,
Jason
Light is talking tomorrow, so that'll be interesting.
It should be. I mean, it's rare, but they've made too many moves for him to just keep quiet, but it's most general managers do that. Light hasn't, but he will be speaking tomorrow, so I know you'll be in the front row, Ira, with your safari hat and all that stuff you do.
Sean, fair to say Brady's also picking the receivers? He recruited Jones. He recruited Gage. What else do we need to know?
I believe that he is going to pick the receivers.
Well, I was having lunch in your showroom, Sean, and at the Big Storm Cafe, I should say. And you obviously have the TVs muted. You had one of the two ESPN channels up. No NFL Network? Come on. Anyway, I got to have NFL Network.
It's coming.
But at any rate, one of the hollering shows was on, and they had the closed captions on. And I was reading the closed captions. I never heard of this guy before, but whatever. And he basically said this, and I thought he hit the nail on the head, whoever this guy was. He was on with Ryan, the former Steelers cornerback, former Redskins cornerback. Ryan Clark. He was on with Ryan Clark. And this guy said, all the guys that Brady recruited to Tampa Bay, has he made a bad choice yet? Haven't they all impacted the Bucs?
Well, you could argue Antonio Brown, but they won a Super Bowl.
The guy caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
They won a Super Bowl.
Now.
Whatever.
Oh, they're on a 22-5 run. Come on.
Yeah, Fournette, Gronk. Brown. I mean, yeah, Brown's a mental patient, but, you know, he produced.
Yeah, Brown's the reason why I don't have a microwave in my house. I'm just letting you know. And I really, people should take all the microwaves out of your house. It right. does something to the food.
Ira, we need to remember, as we heard before.
I thought you were going to say you tossed it over the front lawn or something.
No,
it,
listen, he recruited Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown served his purpose. We yeah. walked away with a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Would we do it again? Yes. Yeah. So
that's well
it
said,
is what it
Sean.
Is.
Well said.
Sage, a Big Storm beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Get a Bromosa. They're in, it's in all the stores. Wavemaker, Amber Ale. They've got so many more. BigStormBrewery.com. And their 10th anniversary celebration. You can get down there, Clearwater Tap Room, all day, all night, half price beer. Buy one, get one free, actually, on the packaged beer. So what a chance to try out some of the beers that you haven't had before. Amazing situation. Get some food as well. Our thanks, as we heard before, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Your first phone call anytime you have that disaster, day or night, whatever it is, let them come out and give you a free assessment. Florida's Elite Restoration. They are family owned, just like Bill Curry Ford. And we know about them. Bill Curry Ford, of course. Thank you, Sean, for stepping into Ira's podcast today here at Bill Curry Ford.
It's always a pleasure, Steve.
And the,
you're such professionals. I feel like I'm on the like the news reporters, sports reporters from the old days.
Miss,
I love that stuff.
Sean, you drop a tasty nugget every time we have you on this podcast. Every time.
All right, Ira, we've said goodbye to Sean. He had to take care of yet another person coming in here demanding the Ira Kaufman discount. We could hear the person screaming from downstairs, Ira. That's always fun to hear that type of we haven't heard pounding on the table back then since their famous episode of Hooters when Lee was pounding the table. That was fun. All right, Ira, look, the fans need some of your wisdom here. Anything as they come out to training camp that they should know, that they should look for, that they should feel, you know, what do you think? Otherwise, maybe not. Ira, maybe you just want them to look for you.
Well, it's not going to surprise anybody, Lee. Number 12 is in complete charge of this football team on the field. And I don't mean that he's telling Bowles, you know, to blitz Lavonte David more or where to play Logan Ryan. But the Brady influence, it's pervasive. And you know what? I don't have a blessed problem with it. It's Tom Brady. There's never been anybody like him, Lee. And I don't think there ever will be.
Not in our lifetimes.
In the National Football League.
Not in our lifetimes.
And as long as he's upright, this is a damn good football team.
That's perfectly said. All right, I got to say this. I was going to say this earlier, and I figured now was better. For those listeners who haven't read it, please go back and look at Ira's column. I think it was published Monday about freedom. Ira wrote a very touching column. At least it touched me. No, not in that way. But he wrote a very nice column about Steve and I and working for us. And I was very humbled. I didn't expect that whatsoever. I didn't think I was that good of a boss. But I really appreciate your kind words, Ira. That was very kind of you. And I'm humbled by that
column. I use the word liberatingly. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Liberating.
No, Joanne Korth.
Move on, sir. Move on.
Yeah, we caught you sucking up, Ira. It's going to get you nowhere. Absolutely nowhere, Sage. Now, yes, year seven begins now.
Year seven, Lee.
For
year
the
seven.
Sage. Six years
flies.
In the hole. Year seven for Ira Kaufman. Ira, you know, I don't know. That's a might be a stain on your record. By the time you're all done, you might have 25% of your career at JoeBucksFan.com.
Somebody told me don't go to Joe Bucks Fan. Don't ruin your brand. Well, instead of ruining my brand, it's grown it exponentially. So... hats off to you guys. Hopefully, it's been a good partnership for you two.
Oh, I love it.
I'm not sure, Sage. I'm still grading you. You're still on the bubble.
Still on probation.
You're on the bubble, Ira. You're on
it's
the bubble.
Training camp.
The podcast is over, and thank you for listening. And if you made it this far, we don't usually ask. We used to years ago, but we don't ask much now. But if you made it this far, you're probably a big Ira fan or a big fan of the podcast. Please go ahead and leave us a good review of the podcast on one of the podcast platforms. Maybe you're listening at Podbean or at Apple Podcasts, wherever it might be that you can leave a review, go ahead and do it. It's good for the profile of the podcast. It's good for new listeners who might be checking it out. Ira likes it, and it just helps us counter some of the idiots that leave terrible reviews for fun. We don't have many of those, but you know what? We're calling for reviews. The new season is here. Let's kick it off right. Go Bucks.